Hello, dear listeners, and welcome to our podcast, My Wife Hates Video Games. I'm your not-so-humble host, Travis Bode, more affectionately known as Finally He Sleeps Across the Interwebs. I'm a Gen X video game addict, beer enthusiast, and pop culture fanboy. Each week, we'll talk books, movies, sci-fi, gaming, comics, soccer, whatever. And yes, I said soccer. Coming to you from the middle of a cornfield in Ohio, USA, or we call it soccer because we're all idiots here. I usually tell a few stories, there'll be some laughs, and I'll most likely offend a few of you, or more, or less, I don't know, we'll see. Thanks for spending some time with me today, now let's get down to business and talk pop. Well, we're back. We haven't had a podcast in a long time. I think the last recording was back in August. It's not that I don't want to do this. I really enjoy doing this, but I took some time off from the podcast. It's just I've got so much going on every day, trying to keep Twitch running and the YouTube channel, work, soccer, everything, and family life that I think this just took a back burner for a while. But the Twitch stream, I put a thing on the Twitch stream, which is how the podcast got recorded in August, where people wanted me to do a new episode, they would request it. They put so much of their Twitch coins or whatever it's called in, and they could basically buy a new episode using their channel points, which is what they earn from watching the stream. Blah, blah, blah. It's a Twitch thing. But they have demanded a new episode, so that's what we're doing here today.
This house is a prison in the galaxy of this sucks camel dick.
Well, 2020 is, God, it's almost over. I mean, we've got, 6 weeks left? I mean, we've already missed Halloween. We're coming up on Thanksgiving here in the U.S., and then we've got Christmas and then New Year, and then thank God 2020 is over. This has been a shitstorm of a year. I mean, let's see, Kanye West ran for president. We got COVID-19. Carol Baskins is on Dancing with the Stars, which if that tells you anything, it's that Dancing with the Stars has done jump the fucking shark. So let's see. The answer is Black Panther, RBG, James Bond, Bilbo, the guy who made David Lee Roth famous, Black Mamba, Tutti Frutti, the Quaker Oats guy, and John Travolta's wife. The question is, who were some of the people we lost in 2020, Alex? Besides, Alex Trebek. I think he is just recently. See, we've had so many people. 2020 has been a giant shit show, a dumpster fire of massive proportions to the point where all these celebrities and like beloved people have died, and it was kind of a blip on the radar. Alex Trebek just died, which there was a sound bite going around, a small video of him cursing, which was hilarious.
So keep watching Jeopardy 24 hours a day and call this number. You dumb son of a bitch, you don't watch it 24 hours a day. There's a daily cash prize of $1,000 and fuck, no shit. Call now and play Phone Jeopardy. She drank the poison that Captain Hook intended for Peter Pan.
Tinkerbell!
Fuck 'em.
I loved Alex Trebek. I enjoyed Jeopardy when I was younger, mostly because my college roommate, who's still one of my best friends, was obsessed with Jeopardy and still to this day records and watches Jeopardy. Loved it and watched it all the time. And Trebek was always kind of a simple guy. But you knew, like, there was so much going on where sometimes he just wanted to reach out and smack the shit out of some of the people on the show. Loved Alex Trebek. Who else died? Little Richard, which, not Rich Little. See, there's two people. And I always got confused. What's the difference between Rich Little and Little Richard? And they're about the polar opposite. One's a dry, terrible, old Saturday Night Live comic. And the other is a flamboyantly, he's a piano player. Was it song Tutti Frutti? That's Little Richard. He died. Not Rich Little. Well, Rich Little could have died too. I don't know. No one hears anything about Rich Little anymore. Ruth Bader Ginsburg, which was a, that was, a, that took a hit. That upset me quite a bit. I loved Ruth Bader Ginsburg. And when she died, it was, God, it, you know, she wanted to hold on just a little bit longer. I mean, her last words were, please don't replace me until after, you know, until after the election. And, you know, here in the United States, they were like, you know what? Fuck you. We're putting somebody else in. Ugh. I'll get into that later. Just, ugh. Here's another one. Sean Connery. People don't even realize it. Sean Connery just died. Man, it was James Bond, Highlander. It, my favorite, though, the, my favorite Sean Connery character was Jimmy Malone in The Untouchables. And if you've never seen The Untouchables, it's, is it Kevin Costner? It's kind of a, it's a biopic of Elliot Ness trying to take down Al Capone. And Sean Connery played Jimmy Malone. And there's the famous line in there where he's asking Kevin Costner if he's ready for the fight that it's about to happen. And it's that Sean Connery voice. And he's like,
here's how you get him. He pulls a knife. You pull a gun. He sends one of yours to the hospital. You send one of his to the morgue. That's the Chicago way.
One of my favorite lines of any movie ever. And that was Sean Connery. And now I have to watch The Untouchables again, just because I was talking about it. Fred Willard. We lost Fred Willard this year. And some of you are like, who the fuck is Fred Willard? Fred Willard, you'd know him if you saw him. Martin Mull, who's one of my favorite comedians from when I was a kid. Martin Mull had a movie called The History of White People in America. And there's a scene with Fred Willard where he has, Fred Willard is kind of the poor man's Eugene Levy, if you know who he is. So Fred Willard is, he's talking to his family, and every person in this family is like stereotypical white house, and they all carry around these giant jars of mayonnaise, and it has always bothered me. And the joke was that all white people like mayonnaise.
Oh, honey.
Don't you have your own mayonnaise?
I finished it at breakfast.
Well, borrow some of Tommy's. He's got plenty.
Hey, all Dad, right. Where's all the mayonnaise in this house?
Have you started eating already? You're going to spoil your appetite. Will you talk to him, Joyce, and use your own mayonnaise? You got plenty.
No, I don't. Debbie took it to her slumber party.
Well, she didn't ask my permission.
Well, there goes the potato salad.
There goes the whole meal.
But if you've never seen it, Martin Mull's History of White People in America, Fred Willard is in there, and it's him and his jar of mayonnaise. Now, this next one's, this is a tough one. We lost Grant Imahara from Mythbusters, and was it the White Rabbit Project? Grant was my second favorite Mythbuster. I mean, you have to, it's Carrie Byron. Come on, Carrie Byron. One of my many, many crushes, Carrie Byron. Tori Belucci, Carrie Byron, Grant Imahara were the guiding force behind Mythbusters for a very, very long time. Grant was the robotics guy who, God, I'm trying to think, there were so many hilarious moments on Mythbusters. I loved Mythbusters, recorded every episode, watched every episode through the entire series. And Grant died this year. I think it was a brain aneurysm. And it just popped up on the feed, like, Grant Imahara dies last night. Like, what the hell? Like, that to me was the moment where 2020 was, it can't get much worse.
Okay, that's strange.
Then we lost Chadwick Boseman, Black Panther. He was just in the 21 Bridges. It's like some of these characters, it's like when you have somebody like Max von Sydow who just died, you're like, okay, it's guy, that guy was what, like 80 years old, 90 years old. I mean, he was Father Marin in The Exorcist. That sucks, but it doesn't surprise you. Chadwick Boseman, when you lose Black Panther, Kobe Bryant, we lost Kobe Bryant. And yes, that seems like it was a billion years ago, but that was this fucking year. Kobe Bryant died before the whole COVID-19 scare, but because of the whole pandemic, this year seems to be like it's like the longest year in the history of the world. Max von Sydow just said he was Father Marin in The Exorcist. He was also Judge Fargo. I can't it's Fargo. You can't forget the name Judge Fargo in Judge Dredd. Now, for some reason, whenever I think of Max von Sydow, that's the first thing I go to is Judge Fargo and Judge Dredd. He was in Minority Report. He was Emperor Ming in Flash Gordon, if you're as old as I am. Who else? Kelly Preston, John Travolta's wife. And that one, I mean, I had a crush on her before I knew who she was. And that was because she was in the movie Christine, the really old film, guys, like early 80s, based on the Stephen King novel about the Plymouth Fury, 1957 Plymouth Fury, I think, 56 Plymouth Fury, maybe it was a 56 that was killing people. Anyway, Kelly Preston was in it. She was like a high school girl. And when I was like 12, Kelly Preston. What else? Eddie Van Halen. We lost Eddie Van Halen just recently, which if you're born in the 70s and you remember the band Van Halen, which always confused me because, you know, you got David Lee Roth as the front man. The band's named Van Halen. You knew it was the brothers that, you know, and Eddie Van Halen was kind of the driving force behind it. But wouldn't it suck to be the lead singer for a band when you're just, but then again, I guess that's every band if you're not the lead singer. I don't know. I always felt bad for David Lee Roth, but then you'd see him in an interview and you didn't feel bad for him anymore. Kind of a dumbass. Regis Philbin died this year. And to me, Regis Philbin was always the living embodiment of Fire Marshal Bill, which was the character that Jim Carrey played on in Living Color. He was the guy who was all these burn scars and his face was all like he had just, is it horrible? You think about it now and it's like, how was that funny? But it was hysterical when I was like 15 years old that he would come in and he would do like demonstrations for schools and stuff. And he would say, "Let me show you something," because he didn't have any lips. Like he'd been burnt off so many times, but that was Regis Philbin. If you stop and think about it, if you have to look that up, if you know who Regis is, look up Fire Marshal Bill. They're the same character. Wilford Brimley, the Quaker Oats guy, died this year. See, Wilford Brimley to me will always be Dr. Blair in the original The Thing by John Carpenter, which is still one of the scariest movies I've ever seen. Not now. Like if you watch The Thing now, the 1980, it's like 85 or something like that. If you watch that now, it's not a bad, it's a good movie. It's still a good movie, but it's not really scary. But when I was like 9 years old, 10 years old, that movie scared the shit out of me. Bilbo Baggins died. Ian Holm, the guy who was Bilbo in the Lord of the Rings series. Not Bilbo in the Hobbit series, but the original Bilbo, older Bilbo, I guess you would say. Frodo's uncle, Bilbo. Anyway, Ian Holm died. And Kirk Douglas, but he was like 103 or something. Some crazy shit. No, I'm serious. He was 103 years old. So kudos to him. I mean, he finally died. Not finally, but that sounded bad. But I mean, that's kind of the only one that isn't a surprise. I mean, it's like Black Panther died. Oh my God. Kirk Douglas died. He was still alive? All right. We can't get too far into this without talking about the American election. If I'm going to piss anybody off, it'll be right now. Good God. I mean, the last 4 years here in the United States has been an utter fiasco, a complete joke. We are a laughingstock to the rest of the world. And it's still blows my mind that there are people here in the United States that back that Cheeto dusted fraud. I mean, being, you know, born in 1976, I grew up in the 80s, and he was an utter laughingstock. He's a joke. He's a rich, spoiled little bitch who was handed everything by his father and has been known throughout his life for everything from womanizing and, you know, banging porn stars to he's the only person on the planet who could bankrupt a motherfucking casino. How anybody could think he knows anything beyond his, you know, the 3 inches in front of his face and the tiny dick under his fat gut blows my mind. But yet I've been surrounded, and me being stuck in Ohio, I am in the middle of hillbilly heaven, and everyone I talk to, everyone I know, other than like my best friends, everyone I know are, the new movie Borat subsequent movie film. If you haven't seen it yet, there's a part where he, during the pandemic, he goes and lives with these two Trump-supporting hillbilly rednecks who are QAnon conspiracy theorists, and they take him in because they think he's a foreign, he's writing a, like, you watch it and you're going, there's no way these guys are this stupid. But yes, they are that stupid. That's where I live. That's the kind of people that I'm surrounded with daily. And it still blows me away. I counted down to this election, and it's been so hard because everywhere you go, it's nothing but Trump signs. It's like I leave my house, I drive a mile, and some farmer has taken his field on the side of the hill and mowed into the field Trump 2020. So we're leading up to this, and I feel like I'm the smartest person in the room 99% of the time because I'm surrounded with people who say stuff like, oh, this COVID thing, it'll all go away November 5th because it's not real. I don't know anybody that's had this thing. As they cough, you know, and they don't have their mask on because that's the idiots that I'm surrounded with. You know, the election happened, and the 2 or 3 days leading up to it, I was in a sense of panic, like to the point where I'm gonna have a goddamn heart attack. You know, the anxiety was through the roof, and then we have the election. That and then it even got worse. The anxiety was all over because you know you have like a week where you're going, oh my God, he's gonna win again. He's going to win again. There are that many hillbilly, inbred, racist, ignorant, naive pieces of shit that make up this country that he's going to become the president again. It blew me away. And then finally, the Saturday after the election, they announced that they were calling a couple of states for Biden. And he was taking over. It's not that I'm a Biden fan. It's just that I hate what Trump has done to this country so much that I would have voted for a peanut butter and jelly sandwich over him. It's that bad. But good God. And now here we are, you know, almost 2 weeks out. Well, we are 2 weeks out today from the day of the voting. And he still hasn't conceded because, again, he is a Cheeto-raped little whiny bitch piece of shit who just thinks that everyone around him owes him something. He's just a spoiled little bitch. I really, really, really hope shit gets better, but it's not. That's the worst part. It is not going to get better. The next 2 months here, while we wait for them to drag his fat orange ass out of that White House, is going to be god awful because you still have, like, it's what was it, 70 million people voted for him? 70 million ignorant, racist piece of shits driving around this country, threatening, you know, it. If you, there was an interview the other day, I think it was the commissioner of the election board in Philadelphia. And he was like breaking down in the interview and saying that, you know, that they've been receiving death threats, that they're trying to steal the election from Trump. He said, you know, he got a phone call that said, you know, that they told him that this is what the Second Amendment is for people like you. He's like, that's a death threat. Like that's where we live right now. And, I've never been more embarrassed to live in the United States than I have the last 4 years. And I just don't think it's going to get better. I think these people have been emboldened over the last 4 years. And I think it's just going to get worse. I mean, we're on the verge of a all out civil war here. Not like, you know, guns and shooting in the street, but close, like really, really close. Like it could turn on a dime at any moment. And that's how bad 2020 is. Just a shithole. Ugh. You know, there's some guys in these African countries right now that are going, and he called our country a shithole. That's how bad it is. The United States is a complete and utter joke. We'll see. Maybe things will get better. I don't know. I'm just not very optimistic right now. Plus, we've got the whole, you know, the COVID is spiking around here. I mean, at this point, we're going to have another 100,000 dead before the end of the year. Like, it's just getting worse. And it's not getting better. And they're blaming everything right now, not on, like, it's not the schools or the restaurants or any of the stuff that's open. They're tracing everything back to these, like, private gatherings and churches and the stuff that that people should know better, like their house parties. And, you know, we got Thanksgiving coming up here, and you know, everybody around here is going to have these giant Thanksgiving parties. Nobody's going to have a mask on. And I think by the middle of December, this country is going to look like war-torn Beirut. It's just depressing. I mean, I love this country, but God damn, I hate this country right now.
What the fuck happened? Read a book, read a book, read a motherfucking book, read a book, read a book, read a motherfucking
book. Let's talk about books. Something different. I just got to get off the whole topic, 2020. I mean, we don't have anything going on right now. There's nothing to do. Everybody's Netflixing it, or... you can't even go to the movies. So what do you have time for? So I've been reading a lot. I always read a lot, but I've been reading a lot more than normal. I have Dune, Frank Herbert's Dune. I haven't started it. It's next up, but like I haven't read that book since elementary school, and it's huge. And I don't remember liking it. I remember it being very, very boring. But it's one of those, you know, it's one of those iconic pop culture things that you're not supposed to dislike. You're supposed to like. So I want to give it another try, especially with the new movie out. So that's up next. But so far lately, I've been reading the whole Alien series again. There's a whole bunch of authors that did spinoffs in the Aliens universe. You know, the Ridley Scott Alien world, everywhere from you know, there's books just about the Colonial Marines, and you've got the spinoff with Aliens and Predator, and there's backstories. And some of them, you know, there's some audiobooks that go with the Alien series. Alien 3 was the worst film. It's the one where she lands on like a prison planet. It's just a god awful movie. And there was an original script that was supposed to be the third film, they made a audio version. They took that original script and made an audio version of it with a full cast. It is fantastic. Much better story. Much, much better story than the Alien 3 film. So I listened to that. I'm trying to think of who all. John Mayberry had a book. There was a bunch of them. And I'm finishing up the last one now, which is just a collection of short stories about the Colonial Marines. It's got all these, just, it's a whole bunch, it's an anthology of all these Colonial Marine stories. And it's really good. But yeah, Dune's up next. What else? I finished Total Power, which was book 19 in the Mitch Rapp series. So Mitch Rapp's the American Assassin. There was a movie just out a couple of years ago, but it's a 19 book series. So I've been, you know, for the last 10 years, I think it's been about 10 years, I've been reading those. And it started out, Vince Flynn wrote the original. He wrote them up until 2011 or 12, because then he died in 2012 or 2013. Vince Flynn died. He was the original author. And then like 2 years later, Kyle Mills took over the series and just basically said, okay, Vince Flynn's died, I'm going to start it. So he started creating books along in the Mitch Rapp, Vince Flynn series as a tribute, supposedly. Now, like Kyle Mills and Vince Flynn were not friends at all. Kyle Mills was just another author who wrote books similar. If you really like the books, you don't notice a big difference because he does do a good job of carrying on the series without any problems. But he had another book out called Darkness. Well, see, Total Power was about, is about the power grid and, you know, falling apart. There's this guy who works for the American government who is petitioned to create this, to see what could happen if someone attacked the American power grid. He's actually the mastermind behind this whole thing that is going to take down the American power grid. And it is a very dark and bleak look at what would happen if we lost power in the United States, like if the whole grid went down. It was pretty scary. I liked it. And then I knew that Kyle Mills had another book called Darkness Falls, which was the same kind of story, but instead of it being the American power grid going down, it's about this guy who is a biologist, I think, scientist who works with bacteria. He designs a type of bacteria that will help clean up oil spills, but someone takes the bacteria that is supposed to help clean up oil spills and they mutate it so that it starts to destroy the world's oil supply. And it's a book about what would happen if the entire world's oil supply collapsed and we were forced within a matter of months back into the Stone Ages. It's another one. It's a really scary book just because of it's a whole climate thing. And, you know, about like what would happen. It's like the whole idea of, you know, climate change destroying the world, but instead of it, you know, happening over the next 50 to 60 years, it's going to happen over the next 50 to 60 weeks. Darkness Falls by Kyle Mills. I finished that one. It was really good. It was interesting because I've only ever read Kyle Mills as Mitch Rapp, the assassin books, and it was completely different. What else? Dennis E. Taylor has a series of books about the Babaverse, which is really strange. And the first three are books. So I read the first three, but then the fourth one came out called Heaven's River just recently. And it's not a book. It's a audiobook only. So decided to jump into it. And what Babaverse is, it's in the future. We have all these people who were cryogenically frozen in the future, are their heads, because, you know, when you If you don't know this, when you are cryogenically frozen, they only freeze your head. That's the only thing they keep is your head. They cut your body off. They just keep your head. They start unthawing these brains, and they use the brain as the basis for artificial intelligence. So it's about this guy named Bob who dies walking across the street, gets hit by a car at Comic-Con. He had something in his will about, he was a video game designer or something. And in his will, it said that he wanted to be cryogenically frozen. So then he gets woke up years into the future, like 30, 40 years into the future. He's like, awesome, I'm awake. But he's not a person. He's inside of a computer. He's like, wait, my name's Bob. And they're like, no, you're property of the corporation, blah, blah, blah. Sometime in the preceding years of when he was frozen and when it happens now, this organization named Faith, which is kind of like a conglomerate of churches, takes over the United States and everything becomes church-based. There's this big like civil war between science and religion. And during that, all of these brains and heads that were stored, and they become property of the company because they don't have a soul because they've already been killed. So when they bring their brain back, they're nothing more than like a slave to whoever sets up the AI. And the world goes into nuclear war. Bob becomes a Van Neumann probe. So if you don't know what Van Neumann was a quantum mathematician. This is a real guy. Van Neumann was a quantum mathematician. He worked on like the Manhattan Project. So we're talking like 1930s, 1940s. He developed a concept, a theory of self-replicating spacecrafts called Van Neumann probes. That's what the whole book series is about. Bob becomes a Van Neumann probe, which is a artificial intelligence that is sent out into space as a spacecraft that would go to a new solar system and use the resources within that, you know, solar system, like the moons or whatever, to build and generate more spacecraft like himself, then clone his own artificial intelligence, put it into the new spacecraft, and send it out. So it's the concept of a self-replicating spacecraft and artificial intelligence that multiplies like rabbits across the universe. And these artificial intelligences are all duplicates of the same Bob. And they create this thing called the Bobiverse, which is a VR reality. They can all connect and they have what they call SCUD interface, where they send out these probes and they have faster than light communication. So all of the Bobs can talk to each other, which is, it's a very cerebral book series, very strange, but it's kind of sci-fi. There's a whole element to all of these different Bobs and they all give themselves names, but they're all, so because the guy died at Comic-Con, he's this big pop culture guy who died in like, I think he dies in like the year 2010 or something. He's my age, and all of his, everything that he likes is stuff that I like for the most part, because it's that kind of our generation. So whenever they make a duplicate, they name the duplicate names himself, the clone, and then all their names are stuff like there's Homer, which is named after The Simpsons, and then there's all these, they all have Star Trek names, or, you know, like Riker, and it's basically written for me. It's my kind of book series. But in the newest one, they just decide that during the cloning process, where they've made all these thousands of Bobs, there is a sort of shift that occurs where each Bob no longer has the core elements of the original Bob. So it's like a copy of a copy of a copy that they start to become different entities. So they create these different groups within the Bobiverse. So there's the main guys, the original Bobs. Then you have an entire group that they call, that they have the next generation. They're all these Star Trek fanboys, and they have their own group. And then there's the gamers. They're all obsessed with like Dungeons and Dragons. And then there's a group that they call the Skippies. They're named after the book series by Craig Allinson, because they're obsessed with finding like an elder artificial intelligence. So it's this whole series of about the Bobverse, which was excellent. And then because it had this new entity in there where they called them the Skippies, and they mentioned Craig Allinson's book series, then Craig Allinson's new book, The Critical Mass, which was the last one in the Expeditionary Force, that just came out, was really good. And if you've been listening to the podcast back before, I'm a big Craig Allinson fan, love that series, and have talked about it many, many times. And at the end of the last book, it was a huge cliffhanger, completely screwed me up. So this new book, Critical Mass, came out, and I'm kind of afraid to start it just because the last one was so, it was bad. It's like that episode of Friends when Ross gets off the airplane and Rachel's there ready, and you're like, they're finally going to get together. And then Ross is, he like kisses some girl he gets off the plane with, and you're like, you know what? Fuck you, Ross. That's the only reason I was watching this show, was to see the two of you to get together. I think that was the end of the first season, which is just horrible. Never watched that show again. Never watched it again. But anyway, Critical Mass was much better than Ross getting off the plane. All right, now I think I've forgotten about the whole election thing. At least I'm far enough into this that I'm thinking about something else now, finally.
We're not like you! We're grown-ups, motherfucker!
Movies. Let's talk about movies. The last time we talked, the last podcast episode, I had been watching the whole Harry Potter series with my daughter. It was good. She liked it. I hadn't seen it in a while, so it was good. I want to read the whole series again. I haven't read the series in a long time. But after the Harry Potter series, we finished the whole Transformers series. I think we're at a point now where I can't think of anything else to watch with her. After Transformers, we did everything. We went all the way back to the old original Transformers, the really, really bad ones, the first ones, where it was just a lot of explosions, and all the way up to the new one, the Bumblebee, which was by far the best of the whole thing. Then with that, it's like she liked the robots and the whole thing. So let's do Pacific Rim. So we did the two Pacific Rim movies, which were good. Giant Japanese mech and decent cast. They were okay. From there, it's like, okay, well, we got, you know, the great big monsters and stuff. Let's do King Kong. King Kong is about as violent and as disturbing a movie as I've ever watched with my daughter. And I thought, okay, this is going to be either be really good or really, really bad. And so far it's been good. We're about 2/3 of the way through King Kong. We started it last Thursday. The next one after that, we got one more King Kong movie. We're not watching like the old ones. We're doing the new ones. And then we'll do Godzilla King of Monsters. And then I have no idea what we're going to watch. I think I've completely destroyed and corrupted a 9-year-old little girl's mind to the point where for her birthday, she was asking for Dinobots from the old Transformers series, which I was kind of excited about. Like, that's awesome. You know, most 9-year-old girls want Barbies. Mine wants 3-headed dragons. So I need to get back to the top 100 movie list. And it's funny because we've been going through films. You know, it's like I mentioned The Untouchables earlier, talking about Sean Connery. That I don't think that was on my top 100 movie list, and I need to finish that. I need to get back to it. Maybe that'll be the next podcast series. Not series, but the next episode. We'll just finish the top 100 movie list. I already said I watched Borat, subsequent movie film. Movie was hilarious. I love Sacha Baron Cohen. I used to watch The Ali G Show, and that type of humor is right up my alley. Borat and Bruno. Bruno is one of the funniest movies I've ever seen in theater. Three funniest movies I've ever seen in an American theater with other people around is not in this order. I don't know which would be the three, what order it would go in, but it was Bruno, Sausage Party, and Team America. Team America was the, this is weird. I mean, the three funniest movies I've ever seen in a movie theater. One's a fake documentary, one's marionettes, and the other is a cartoon that involves a giant food orgy. That's how messed up my sense of entertainment is. Tax Collector just came out. If you haven't seen it, it's a David Ayer movie. He's the guy that did Suicide Squad, David Ayer. It's got Bobby Soto and Shia LaBeouf. I love Shia LaBeouf. He's a method actor that is nuts. I mean, he's certifiable. He's crazy. He's like Gary Busey crazy almost. And love him. He's been in everything. He's got that new one, The Peanut Butter Falcon. Fury was awesome. Fury's weird. That's the movie with Brad Pitt where they're stuck in a tank. It's a very disturbing film, but he was excellent in that. But I've loved Shia LaBeouf ever since the old Project Greenlight season 2, where they made the Battle of Shaker Heights. It was him and Amy Smart. If you don't know what Project Greenlight is, it used to be a series on HBO where Ben Affleck and Matt Damon, their production company, the one that made like Good Will Hunting, they would bankroll, they would greenlight an independent film. And it was, I think it was always two directors. Like it was, I think what they say, there was a tagline for the show. It was like one writer, no, two directors, one writer and a dream, Project Greenlight, something like that. But they would bankroll the production of, they would give like $1 million to make a film. And the second season was The Battle of Shaker Heights, which starred Shia LaBeouf is like some 16, 17 year old kid who worked at a grocery store and was obsessed with not growing up and reenacting war reenactments like Gettysburg and the cold, just weird stuff. Okay. And Amy Smart worked with him at the grocery store and there was like this love story with them. It was a really good movie. I loved it. Loved Project Greenlight. I only watched the first three seasons. The first season was good just because it was about films and that's what I wanted to do. That was, you know, what I was in school for. And then the second season, the movie was terrible. The first season, I don't even remember the name of the movie. It was god awful. But then the second season was Battle of Shaker Heights. That was fantastic. And then the third season was the best. It was, they made a horror film, like a comedy horror film called Feast. And it is a gory as hell, fantastic, kind of like, I would say it's along the lines of something like Cabin Fever or Cabin in the Woods, Slither, like James Gunn type films. It's about this bar, you know, now that I think about it, it's kind of like From Dusk Till Dawn. It's this bar, but all these monsters attack the bar, and the cast is insane. It's got Jason Mewes, who was Jay from Jay and Silent Bob and like the Clerks, Mallrats. Jason Mewes is in it. Henry Rollins is in it. Balthazar Getty is in it. Now, Balthazar Getty, that's one of those people that it's like, if I say that name, everybody's like, who the hell is Balthazar Getty? I know the name. Like you remember that. You can't ever forget the name Balthazar Getty, but a lot of people have no idea who he is. And then I show you a picture and you're like, that's Balthazar Getty? Are you sure? Yeah, that's who it is. It's a name that we know, but an actor that we don't. But anyway, he's in it. Tretch is in it, which is one of the guys from Naughty by Nature. You know, the guys, are you down with OPP? I guess my age is showing. Tretch is in it from Naughty by Nature. Feast is awesome. But that was the third season of Project Green. I have completely lost. I don't even remember what I was talking about. Movies.
God bless guns. This won't run out of ammo.
I need to watch Feast again because I haven't seen that in a long time. Why was I talking about Feast? I was talking about Feast, Battle of Shaker Heights, The Tax Collector. Good God, I went all the way there from The Tax Collector. Tax Collector was awesome. It's David Ayer, and it's about these two guys who are kind of like enforcers for the cocaine cartels in the United States. Violent. Oh my God, was it violent? It was really good though. Really good movie. Had a whole bunch of people in it. Definitely check it out. It's streaming right now, Which is, that's the other problem. There's nothing, like there's nothing, you can't go to the movies around here. All the cinemas have shut down. We only have one movie theater that's open still, but no one's going. And you can rent the theater for like $200 and watch a movie by yourself. But that's about it. I mean, everything we're watching is we're just streaming. The drive-in's closed now because it's gotten too cold around here. There's a bunch of new movies coming out. Suicide Squad 2, James Gunn. We were just talking about, he's the guy that did Slither, one of my favorite comedy horror films. James Gunn is doing Suicide Squad 2. It has a massive cast of people. The only recurring characters from the original is Flag and Harley Quinn and Jack. I think there's the only three that are coming back, but there's a whole bunch of new comic characters that are in this one. From King Shark is in it. God, it's a whole bunch of people. And the cast is awesome. You've got one of my favorite actors and comedians, Pete Davidson, is in it. I'm sure he's just got a bit part, but he's in it. John Cena's in it. Jesus, there's a massive cast. And there's no real good trailer out for it right now. There's just a behind the scenes of the making that's out, but it looks really good. There's a whole bunch of new films coming. And you look at them and you're like, when did they make this? Like, is it an old movie or what happened? But there's a bunch of new trailers out that you can see. I don't know. Hopefully 2021 will be much better and we can go back to the movies. Doesn't look promising, but I hope so.
Unbelievable. Wow.
That's incredible.
I'm better when I'm drunk.
Okay, let's talk about video games. The new season of FIFA Mobile came out. That's been really occupying my time. A lot. That's if you're listening to the podcast, you're probably familiar with me from YouTube or Twitch. That's where I stream FIFA Mobile and YouTube. It's a lot of videos about FIFA Mobile. That's my main obsession. FIFA Mobile. I spend probably 3 to 4 hours every day immersed in that game, no matter what's going on. FIFA console came out. And I got it and started playing it, and then the FIFA Mobile new season released, and I haven't been back to console since. I was so bored with the mobile last season that I needed to get something new, so I went to the console and started playing it, and then I just can't get back into it because the mobile's occupying my time. I still have Star Wars Jedi Fallen Order sitting on the PlayStation that I haven't started yet. The new Call of Duty came out, Cold War. And my son got it. It looks fantastic, and I'm kind of afraid to play it just because I know how I am with Call of Duty. It starts to occupy a lot of my time, and I'm afraid to do that. It looks good, though. God, it looks good. What else? It's kind of like Battlefield. That's what I would explain it. It looks more like Battlefield than Call of Duty. It doesn't have... Battlefield was the Frostbite engine where you could like shoot shit and it would explode and that you could actually tear buildings down or go through walls. It's not like that. It's the old game engine that the original Call of Duty runs on. Or the new one's Treyarch? Is it still Treyarch? I can't remember. But it's Activision. No, it's Activision. I think it's Activision. Treyarch's not an imprint of Activision, is it? I can't remember. But it does look good. God, it looks good. I need to stay away from it. Among Us has been huge here at my house. My daughter, my 9-year-old, loves Among Us. That's her favorite game to play right now. So we've been having family night. Instead of family movie night, we have family Among Us night, where like 6 of us will sit down and just play Among Us, which is fun, but oh my God, is it. It gets so competitive, and we don't play online. We only play private matches just with the family, but it's instead of hide and seek, we've been playing Among Us. Then we've kind of taken, I've talked about this in the past. We played live action Dead by Daylight, which was, we were playing in the dark, hide and seek in the dark, but you had a killer and we had, you know, tasks you had to do and everything. So we turned Dead by Daylight, the video game, into a version of hide and seek that we played inside over, God, that was in the spring. We did a lot during COVID-19, the pandemic, just something to do. Then, now that Among Us is out, we've actually started to move into a live action Among Us. So the new, our new version of hide and seek with Among Us is we set cell phones out and we put them on 25-second timers. So that's like a task that you perform. If you're familiar with the game Among Us, it's the same thing. So we have all these phones hidden around the house and you have to go do perform tasks. You have to perform 4 or 5 tasks or whatever. And once those tasks are complete, then you can escape. And before the game starts, we pass out playing cards. And if you get the king, you are the imposter. So one of you of the group is the killer, but you don't know who. And you're sneaking around the house trying to find these tasks and you're avoiding everybody else because you don't know who the killer is. Once you get your 4 tasks done, then you can go and we have like the base, like where you, instead of calling emergency meetings, we just have to get your tasks done and go to the couch. And then if you do that, you escape, you win. And if everybody gets to the couch before the imposter has killed everybody, then the imposter wins or you win or however it works, but it's just something to do. And we do it in the dark. And the other night we're playing, my daughter is acting pretty suspect. She's acting a little sus, as the kids say. I was trying to avoid her and I could see that she was trying to kill me. She was kind of chasing me, but not, she was being subtle about it. And I came around the pool table and I cracked my foot on the leg. And when I say I broke my toe, I mean, I broke my fucking toe. You know, this little piggy went to market. This little piggy stayed home. Well, this little piggy looks like it got ran over by a fucking truck. It is like 4 different shades of purple. It looks like, was it Augustus Goop? The one that, you know, turned into the giant floating purple thing. That's my foot. My foot is, my toe looks like Augustus Goop from, was that Willy Wonka? Yeah. I think Augustus Goop's the one that turned into the big floating purple thing. Anyway, toe's all fucked up. I need to play Fallen Order. I think I've just talked myself into going into Fallen Order. I need a day where I can stream for like 24 hours and just go through the entire Fallen Order game start to end live on Twitch. That would be a fitting end to 2020. If you were watching the channel on YouTube, you know that I was starting a series about flipping cars. So with the pandemic, there's nothing else going on. So we decided to start buying cars back when we were on quarantine. And we've been buying like ragged out piece of shit, basket case, either ragged customs or started custom project cars, stuff that's either lowered or something's done to it, but it's not finished and it's painted, the interior's all gutted or something. So we started buying cars and selling them, and we were making a good profit on these things. So we bought a few, and then I decided I'm going to start recording this and maybe making some YouTube videos out of it just to see if people would enjoy it. The last one that we finished was the Miata. I've only put out one video. I've got all this footage. I've got all these pictures and everything. I just need to put the videos together. I haven't done it. We just sold the last one, the Mazda Miata, damn near doubled what we paid for it. And we haven't had any of these cars for longer than a month. I mean, we keep them for like, I'm at a point now where we've bought so many cars this year that I think I can buy one more car and I have to either get a dealer's license or start putting them in somebody else's name. That's how often we've been doing it. Then this past weekend, we have all this profit, and I've been splitting it with my 2 sons, my 19-year-old and my 15-year-old. We've been doing it together and then splitting the profit 3 ways because it's like a family project. I've been taking my portion and just throwing it into the next car. So I'm at a point now where I have no money in any of this. I'm so far ahead that whatever car I buy next, I'm just buying with profit. No money's out of pocket. We're way into the black on all this. But the boys have been taking their money and have been hoarding it to the point now where they're handing me new projects. So the 15-year-old wants, now I'm apparently I've been working on his car, which was the first car we bought during the pandemic, and he's kept it, and it's a Acura RSX. So now we've done so much stuff to that. So they're taking their profit and throwing it right back into their cars. So now over the next couple of weeks, I've got to put on, let's see, coilovers for the RSX. I've never done suspension work before. I mean, I understand the process and I know how to do it, but I've never attempted it. So this could be interesting. And apparently I'm lowering the RSX. My son has decided he wanted a second car. So Saturday we had 7 cars. There are 7 cars at my house. We sold the Miata, so we're down to 6, but we had 7 cars on Saturday because we left in the morning, went on a 4-hour road trip, and he finally bought his ultimate dream car, a Nissan 350Z. So, and it needs work. It's a project. But it's something that he's been saving for years. He's had a car fund that he's wanted this thing forever since he's been, you know, since he was 16, this was his dream car. So now he bought it, and that's the new thing here. I'm going to have to do, I have no idea what the list of stuff he wants me to do to that car is insane. And like I said, I've never done suspension work before, but apparently we're putting an air ride on that thing. So there could be a whole video series on me trying to figure out how to do this shit to this Nissan Z. So get ready for that. I don't know. I don't even know why I'm putting this in the podcast. This is just kind of me panicking that they're asking me to do this stuff. I'm like, I don't know how to do this stuff. They're like, come on, Dad, you can figure it out. I'm like, okay. So we'll see. Keep an eye out, though. The Miata and GTI videos will come out soon, and then we'll start the, I don't know. They could be quite entertaining watching me pretty much fuck up a couple of cars because I don't know what I'm doing. Seriously, I'm kind of scared. I'm putting that out here right now. I'm kind of scared. I don't know how to do this shit.
Holy Santa Claus shit.
All right, boys, prepare to be dazzled.
Okay, I'm going to end this thing with something that happened the other day. Vomit. I don't know why, but I find vomit hysterical. It is one of those things. When someone is throwing up, I am losing my mind. I hate to throw up, but when I do throw up, I still find it funny. It's probably some childhood trauma. I don't know. But like throwing up is the body's way of saying, yo, dumbass. No, 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 no. It's like you're rejecting. It's the ultimate rejection of the body. And whenever I see anybody get sick, I turn, even if it's one of my kids, I cannot handle it. I start to giggle. I start to laugh. I'm no use to anyone. Years ago, it was New Year's Eve. There were a bunch of us sitting around my house drinking, and my younger sister had just gotten married, and her husband, who was younger than her, so there's a big gap. I mean, like 10, 12 years between him and I. And there was this, I think he competed with me back then. He was like, you know, this is my wife's older brother. For some reason, there was this like little competition. I wasn't competing, but I think he was. And we were all drinking. And I drink a lot. It takes a lot for me to get pretty hammered. So when I drink heavy. He was trying to keep up and it didn't work out in his favor. And he was sitting in a recliner in my living room. And all of a sudden, his eyes rolled back. He leaned back and he started to vomit. Now my mother-in-law has this rock in her front yard that they drilled a big hole in it and they put a fountain in it. So there's like this gurgling fountain of water that comes out of this rock. If you've ever seen it, it's like a normal landscape thing, and it's just trickling water coming out of the top of it. Well, that's exactly what my brother-in-law looked like, a trickling rock, except it was nachos and beer and lots of beer and some liquor and everything that was like burbling out of his mouth as if he was a landscape fixture. That is the only image I could see, was him as a landscape rock an ooze coming out of his mouth, and I lost it. And everyone else around me is like, oh my God, he's going to die. Like, they thought he was going to pretty much Jimi Hendrix it right there in my chair, and I couldn't help because I was losing my mind. I thought it was the funniest thing I'd ever seen. I'm no good to anyone. When my wife was pregnant and she would throw up morning sickness, I would laugh. I would laugh. I was horrible. I was no help. She's bad. She is a projectile vomiter. So when she would get sick, it was epic. And there was one night she was craving sloppy joes. When women are pregnant and they have these weird cravings, my wife had two cravings when she was pregnant. It was pickles from Subway. I would have to go to Subway and buy and just get like sides of pickles because she was obsessed with Subway pickles. I had to get her Subway pickles. And then spaghetti. There was one night where I walked in and she had made this giant spaghetti dinner. And when she threw the spaghetti up, she threw up in the sink. Yeah, I forgot about that one. She barfed spaghetti up. I'm like, I'm looking in the sink and it's as if someone poured a bowl of spaghetti in the sink. And I'm like, Jesus woman, did you not chew? Like there were whole noodles in here. Like, I mean, it looked like the Lady and the Tramp where they're sucking the noodles in. That's what she must have done to an entire plate of spaghetti. And I had to actually chop that spaghetti up to get it to go down the drain. And I did all that because I love her. And I giggled and I laughed the whole fucking time. But one night it was Sloppy Joe's. She was a cravings for Sloppy Joe's. And she ate this giant bowl of Sloppy Joe's. She ran to the bathroom and I went behind her. I'm like, are you okay? And she leaned over the toilet, projectile vomited into the toilet. And the only way to describe it is as if someone put a cherry bomb in the toilet and exploded liquid meat on the walls of the bathroom. That shit was everywhere. Like it was in her hair. Like I had to clean the walls. I'm not joking. I had to tear the back of the toilet off to get Sloppy Joe's out of everything. And I laughed so hard. She was crying. I was laughing. Funniest shit I've ever seen. So anyway, let's see what else. There's projectile vomiting must run in my family because my son does it too. There's a couple of stories there, but I won't subject him to tell about that. My one best friend turned 30. This is like 15 years ago. And we had a big, massive house party. We had a band and he lived on a farm. We had a giant outbuilding. We had a live band playing. There were people drinking everywhere. People were passed out. We had tents all over the place. It was like 100 people at this house, several kegs. It was a drunken fest. And I remember standing there and we look over and there's a guy. I don't even know who he was. He was leaning on the bumper of his car, throwing up into the weeds, and there was no sound coming out. Usually there's like some retching sound, which makes it even funnier. But this guy was like, it was almost as if he was silently opening his mouth and then purging. There was no sound whatsoever other than the sound of it hitting the grass. And there were a couple of us sitting there drinking like 20 feet away, watching him do this. We began it was very natural. We started to imagine what he was thinking and saying, almost as if we were in a real episode of MST3K, Mystery Science Theater 3000. And we voiced over this guy getting sick for like 20 minutes. And I know we were close enough that he could hear us, and he never said a word. He just continued to vomit for 20 minutes while we talked. And we said that it was like, oh my God, and why did I drink so much? But there was no sound coming out. It was just us talking behind him, which was the funniest thing ever. I feel really bad. I don't know who that guy was, but somewhere out there, there is a guy who yacked his brains out in 2005. There were three guys drunk behind him with a running commentary of everything that was happening. I feel sorry for that guy now that I'm actually saying this out loud. It's still one of the funniest things ever, but I feel bad for him. Anyway, I'm coming home from training the other night and I'm getting off the interstate. I pull up to the stop sign, like the off ramp, and there's a car in front of me. It's full of people. And this is like 9:30, 10 o'clock at night. Passenger door front. It's like four door car. So it's a stand. Right front door opens and a girl leans out and she just starts yakking in the road. Well, immediately I start giggling, right? And she's just leaning there, and it's like that moment from that birthday party, but I don't know if she's silent or not. I can't hear it. She's a car away. So I turn the radio off and roll my windows down because that's how into this I am. And I am laughing so loud she has to hear me. I am cracking up. And then all of a sudden, the back seat on the driver's side opens up and someone else starts yakking. They start like spewing out of the car. So now you got a girl throwing up out of the driver's side front, a guy throwing up out of the back seat on the driver's side. And then one of the windows rolls down. There were three open cavities of the car. Three out of the four people are barfing out of this vehicle. I am behind them. I am losing my goddamn mind. I am laughing so hard I can't take it anymore. And then a couple of them stop. Then this car, the brake lights go off. He starts to move forward. And then the light's green. And he stops again. And then the driver's door opens up. And he starts yakking out the car. Then he gets out of the car. He's standing there. And he's throwing up. The girl in the passenger seat that originally started to get sick, she climbs out. And she starts throwing up in the weeds. And the one guy in the back gets out. And they just start waving me forward to come around him. And I'm not moving at all because I am laughing so hard I can't take it at this entire car of people. I have no idea what happened. I hope that they were... Here's in my head, here's what happened. They were drinking at a bar. The driver was the designated driver. He's a good guy. He wasn't drinking at all. He's a good guy. He was just, you know, driving them around. And then the girl in the passenger seat says, "I don't feel good. I think I'm going to be sick." So they all start laughing. She opens her door. She starts throwing up. Then the sound of her getting sick, the weak stomachs of the other two people are like, "Oh my God, if she's being sick, the sound of her getting sick is going to get me sick." So then they started to throw up. And then the driver's like, "Oh my God, everybody's barfing. Now I'm going to start barfing." In my head, that is what was happening. Now it is very, it's possible that they were all poisoned by arsenic at a corporate retreat, and after I drove around them losing my mind, laughing my ass off, they all just succumbed and died on the side of the road. That is possible that could have happened, but I don't like to think that. I think my scenario happened. But anyway, I'm thinking about it now, and I hope they're okay, but I would like to say thank you, because that was probably the funniest thing and the most entertaining moment of 2020 for me. And that says a lot for how bad and horrible this year has been. 2020. Fuck you, 2020.
Snoochie Boochies.